الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Most respected ulama, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening from home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by testifying that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his last and final messenger. We send salutations, peace and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wives, our beloved mothers, his companions, his progeny, and those who will follow his blessed way until the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the incidents of various anbiya alayhimus salam to us in the Quran Majeed as a source of guidance for us to draw inspiration from the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties that they experienced in their lives. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the incidents of these anbiya alayhi salam. Firstly, for him, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, to draw lessons and inspiration. And from amongst the galaxy of anbiya alayhimus salam, one of the most beautiful incidents that are narrated to us is that of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and himself mentions, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, that we have revealed to you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of narratives from that which we have inspired you and revealed upon you from the Quran Majeed. Wa in kunta min qablihi lamin al-ghafilin, even though you were unaware of the details of these incidents prior to this. In fact, when it comes to the revelation of Surah Yusuf, it is mentioned that the Jews had sent a delegation to trick Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and test him. And they asked about that Nabi who moved from one place, Kan'an, to Misr, to Egypt. Why did he move and what was the reason, referring to Ya'qub alayhi salam and of course the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in such beautiful detail one of the only incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salam that is revealed all together in one surah and revealed in chronological order from the time that he was a young boy throughout his entire life, the difficulties that he experienced, how he rose to prominence. It is revealed in chronological order in a very unique fashion. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated this, and this was testament to one of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that despite not having studied the detailed history of Ya'qub alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, he was able to narrate such aspects that even the Jews were unaware of these details. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah also as a source of comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had experienced great trials and tribulations in Makkah Mukarrama at the hands of the Quraysh. And this surah provided guidance, it provided light, it provided comfort, it provided solace to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with so many different lessons. And today, inshallah, we would discuss some of the lessons from the exoneration of Yusuf alayhi salam out of the prison and his rise to prominence. When Yusuf alayhi salam had given the interpretation of the dream from the jail to the king via his emissary, And the king became impressed with this interpretation, and there are lengthy details with regards to how Yusuf alayhi salam was exonerated. But when the time came for him to leave the jail, he began by making dua for the inmates, his fellow inmates. He took a ghusl, put on new clothes, and then he proceeded to the court of the king. And as he comes to the court of the king, before he enters, he makes another beautiful dua. حَسْبِ رَبِّي مِن دُنْيَايَا وَحَسْبِ رَبِّي مِن خَلْقِهِ عَزَّ جَارُهُ وَجَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. My Lord is sufficient for me against my dunya. My Lord is sufficient for me against His creation. Highlighting His complete trust, tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَزَّ جَارُهُ. Mighty is the one who comes under His protection. وَجَلَّ ثَنَاؤُهُ. And His praises are sublime. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. And there is none worthy of worship except Him. He makes dua, and then he enters into the court of the king of Egypt. And when he enters by making salam in Arabic to the courtiers. And he then says to them that I am greeting you in the language of my forefather Ismail alayhi salam. And then he greets the king in Hebrew, and he says that I am greeting you with the language of my forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. Both of these languages were not common and not known by the king. In fact, the king then begins to converse with Yusuf alayhi salam, and it is mentioned that the king himself was well versed in more than 70 languages. And every time he engaged with Yusuf alayhi salam in a particular language, Yusuf alayhi salam responded fluently in that language as well. Testament to his own greatness and a miracle from the side of Yusuf alayhi salam. Nevertheless, he asks Yusuf alayhi salam for some advice and more details with regards to the interpretation of the dream. And Yusuf alayhi salam provides such detail that the king had not even revealed these details to his advisors and counselors, but Yusuf alayhi salam was aware of the minute details of the dream. And he explains to him the interpretation of the dream, that there will be some years of prosperity, and then there will be some years of hardship, there will be some drought. So the king then asks him that you've given me the interpretation, how do I now manage this looming crisis? So Yusuf alayhi salam then gives him beautiful advices. And towards the end, we will summarize these advices, but I want us to think about it. We spoke about the trust of Yusuf alayhi salam. We spoke about the fact that the cornerstone and the pillar of his exoneration from jail and this journey that he goes in was dua at each point to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we see that he exercises and he uses this intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired him with for the benefit of mankind and humanity and the benefit of the community that he was living in. So he says to the king that what you should do is that when you have the prosperity over the next 7 years, exert yourself in cultivating all of the lands and incentivize your farmers and the people that are living here to cultivate and get maximum productivity out of the lands during this time. And from here we take a lesson. And these are beautiful lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to us when we reflect upon the Qur'an. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses a question that do they not ponder and reflect upon the Qur'an al-Majeed? One is tilawat that we make, but the obligation, the requirement is for us to study the Qur'an deeply and extract lessons that will be relevant to us today. The Qur'an is a timeless masterpiece. Whether it was the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it is today, whether it will be the events that will take place till the day of Qiyamah, the Qur'an will provide a source of guidance for every community, every individual, whatever his situation is. So Yusuf alayhi salam is advising good principles of financial management. And he says that you should cultivate during this time. And during this time, you should also ensure that you put aside 20% of your produce in storage. Build the necessary storage facilities and keep 20% for the tough times that will come ahead. And in addition to that, the taxes that you may have, the state lands that you own that will produce some grain, keep that aside as well, because when the tough times come, not only will your citizens require assistance, but you will find that the neighboring lands will also experience the acute famine, and they will come to you as somebody that has some store of value in them, and you can assist them as well. Again, a beautiful piece of advice, that sometimes we focus only on ourselves. As a country, we focus on ourselves. As individuals, as a community, as a business. But the reality is that we do not live in an insular environment. We live amongst neighbors. And when there are tough times, our neighbors are also going to come and seek our assistance. So one is for us to forget about planning for them. And then when they come for that assistance, by hook or crook, they're going to take it because they are desperate. On the other hand, we can engage in the necessary financial planning, thinking forward and being visionary so that we can assist them at the time of need. And he also says that even if you don't give it to them for free, you may be able to charge them a nominal fee for the grain that you have stored, for the produce that you have stored, and this will assist you with revenue at a time when you yourself are experiencing difficulty. So the king then says to him that, wonderful advice, but how am I going to implement it? Who is going to be the one that drives this important vision to protect my community? And then Yusuf alayhi salam says that, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Appoint me as the one who oversees the treasures of the earth. إني حفيظ عليم. This is a beautiful advice with regards to financial management and with regards to our own lives as well. Yusuf alayhi salam says that I am a knowledgeable keeper. Ulama explain that these are two qualities that anybody who is overseeing finances, whether it is in our businesses, whether it is in our organizations, our masajid, even in our own lives, because all of us, even in our own lives, we have to manage our own finances. There are two qualities that a good financial manager should have, and that is he should be knowledgeable and he should be protective over that wealth. Ulama explain that the word hafiz, to be a good keeper of that wealth, it means that that wealth should not be used in the wrong avenues. It should not be spent in a wasteful manner, in a manner that will not yield the necessary results. And we look at our own lives as well, that how many times as a community we are wasteful. We engage in israf. Look at our weddings. Look at our functions. Look at the other types of things, our holidays, our vacations. You know, point of reflection, somebody said to me in the family that I find it difficult to even go on holiday when I see what is happening to my brothers and sisters in Gaza. 100,000, 150,000 rand on the holiday, on the ticket, I'm spending for enjoyment. And there is nothing wrong in going out on a vacation within the boundaries of Sharia. There is nothing wrong for some rest and relaxation. Perfectly permissible. But for us to think about it, that we are spending like there is no tomorrow, yet our neighbors, whether it is close to us and far away from us, they are experiencing acute difficulty. So one is to ensure that we protect that wealth. And the second, alim, to be knowledgeable, means that we should know when to spend, where to spend, and how much to spend. Because sometimes we reach the other extreme, that we become extremely miserly. We become very controlling over our wealth. We don't want to spend where we are supposed to spend. So these are two qualities that Yusuf alayhi salam possessed. And then the king at that time, he did not appoint him immediately. He was very impressed, but he decided to wait for a year so that he could see the characteristics of Yusuf alayhi salam, his trustworthiness, his honesty, his integrity. And after a year, he then had a huge procession. Yusuf alayhi salam was brought in. A crown was put on his head. He was appointed as the finance minister, but in addition to that, the king began retiring from most of his duties, and so Yusuf alayhi salam then became the de facto ruler of Egypt at the time. And during his tenure, it was a time of peace, prosperity, progress. Much progress was made during this time. So much so that when the hardship came, when the famine came, and again here we learn a beautiful lesson of empathy. Yusuf alayhi salam, when the community was experiencing the famine, he reduced his own intake. His own meals, the amount that he would eat, he cut it down. And somebody asked him that you are the ruler, you are the finance minister of Egypt, you control the treasures of the land. Why is it that you are going through this difficulty? And he says, subhanallah, that I want to keep this fikr in my heart, this concern in my heart, that I must have empathy for my fellow citizens. That whilst I may have sufficient to go to bed on a full stomach every night, but the people that I rule over do not have that luxury. Therefore, I'm cutting down my own spending. And it is mentioned that he instructed the royal cooks that reduce the meals in the palace to once a day. Once a day, so that my ministers, my courtiers, my advisors, my parliamentarians, they too can experience a little bit of what the community is experiencing. Imagine if we had that today. Imagine if that was the condition and the situation of the leaders of today. And therefore, we are getting a beautiful lesson in leadership from Yusuf alayhi salam, that I must empathize with those that are below me. The community that I am leading, it should not be that I am a so-called fat cat, but those that are next door to me are going to bed hungry every night, and I have no concern, I have no fikr in my heart. So this was the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam when he came out of the jail. Now let us take and extract some lessons from this for us in our lives. Number one, Yusuf alayhi salam taught us that we always place our trust firstly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful dua. Hasbi Rabbi min dunyaya. That my Lord is sufficient for me from my dunya. That my trust should not be on my means that I have. My vehicles, my bank account, my businesses, my properties. Hasbi Rabbi min khalqi. And in addition to that, my Lord is sufficient for me from His creation. That my tawakkul and my trust must not be on the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But firstly, I must have my nazar and my gaze on the khaliq, on the creator. So this was the first lesson that Yusuf alayhi salam taught us, which is very pertinent for us today as well. Number two, we find that Yusuf alayhi salam sought to benefit the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with acumen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly had given him the ability to interpret dreams. He had heard of this dream and he knew the interpretation and he knew what needed to be done to rectify the situation and remedy the situation. And therefore, he did not sit back in his corner selfishly and ensure that his own life was comfortable, but he sought to benefit the people. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, that the best of people are those who are most beneficial to the people. Those who are most beneficial to those around them. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, and different people have different skills. Some of us may have wealth. Some of us may have professional skills. Some of us may have business acumen or other types of acumen. Let us use that for the benefit of the community. And subhanallah, particularly in our community in South Africa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. Whether it is with wealth, whether it is with influence, whether it is in business, whether it is in charitable work, whether it is in the professional sphere, the medical sphere, technological sphere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the community. Let us not remain insulated, but rather taking the lesson from the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, let us seek to be of benefit to the people. Then Yusuf alayhi salam teaches us another beautiful lesson, is that you must be smart in your financial affairs. You must be smart in your financial affairs. Yusuf alayhi salam was a knowledgeable keeper, hafidhun alim. He was somebody that was, who understood how to protect and preserve wealth, but at the same time, how to spend and to grow that wealth. This is something that we need to bring into our own lives. We are experiencing difficult financial conditions. People complain that prices are increasing, there's inflation, petrol prices are going up, the rand and the dollar, etc. We need to ensure that we exercise good financial management even in our own homes. And the next lesson that we learn from Yusuf alayhi salam, which our Hazrat Rahmatullahi alayhi would often mention from this minbar, is that come down one step in life. come down one step in life so that if there is some financial difficulty in the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us and grant us all barakah. But if there is some pressure going forward, then it becomes easy for us and particularly for our families. Sometimes we are guilty, although we may have grown up with hardship, we are guilty of giving such a comfortable life to our children that a day comes, Allah protect, when there is difficulty for them. We don't know where they are going to be in life, who they will get married to, where their life will take them. When there is difficulty for them, it is hard and they find it difficult for the, to be able to deal with that financial pressure. So let us ensure that we come down one step in life. And then we find that there is prudent financial management. Yusuf alayhi salam said to the king of Egypt that you're going to experience 7 years of prosperity. During this time, it is the time to earn. It is the time to cultivate. It is the time to grow the wealth. In our own lives as well, particularly for young people, there is a time that we have to work and we have to work hard, seeking from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the parameters of Sharia. It should not be that at this crucial time of life, and I speak mainly to the young people, because we are guilty of this, that we become lazy at a time when we are supposed to work hard. And then when we require the funds later on in life, when we have lost the energy and the drive and we're close to retirement, then we sit back and we cry that if I had only worked hard. So it is not against tawakkul for a person to work hard as long as it is not done at the expense of his Islam and his deen. It is not against tawakkul for a person to ensure that he goes out. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have to go out and we have to earn and then we place our trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we learn from the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam that at times we need to save a little bit for a rainy day. At times we need to save a little bit for a rainy day. A person can see that the economy is going through difficult times. So at that time, he takes a little bit and he keeps it aside so that in the future, if him or his family or his dependents require it, even in our businesses, a time may come when we require it. Instead of us laying people off, instead of us cutting down heads, if we had saved a little bit with this good niyat, then we can assist them. And we saw that during the COVID period where suddenly businesses were closed and people were unable to pay their staff, etc. If we had kept a little bit aside, not so much that we are, reducing our own intake, but just a little bit aside, we would have found that this would have been extremely beneficial. And very importantly, have concern for our neighbors. Yusuf alayhi salam, in his advice to the king of Egypt, not only did he advise the king to ensure that his own community was looked after, but he also advised him to keep something aside for the neighbors, for those that are coming from neighboring lands. The same applies to us, that we don't live in an insular society. We are comfortable. We have water. We have electricity. We have food. But our neighbors, they do not have this. They go to bed hungry. They go to bed without medical assistance. They go to bed without this and without that. Let us have some fikr and some concern in our hearts for our neighbors as well. And then we learn that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with acumen, with wealth, with skills and knowledge, then it is permissible for us and encouraged for us to use it even if it is for the benefit of non-Muslims. Many times people ask the question that we live in a non-Muslim society, how should we interact with the people around us? The best way for us to interact with the people around us, and we learn this from the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, is that let us be of benefit even to the non-Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with some skill. It should not be that we exclusively use it for our communities, but rather let it be a source of benefit for everybody that is around us. And when we do all of this, our primary objective must be for the establishment of deen. This was the main intention. Ulama explained the main intention of Yusuf alayhi salam in doing all of this, in going out, in advising, in becoming the finance minister. Outwardly it seems that he is only involved in dunya, but his maqsad, his primary intention was for the establishment of deen and the spread of deen. In the same way, when we are out there in our professions, when we are out there in our businesses, let us do it with the intention that deen must flourish. Through this engagement, through the patient that I see, through the child that I teach, through the professional that I am engaging with, through the customer that I have in my business, deen must flourish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to study the Qur'an with a critical eye, to understand and take the lessons from the Qur'an al-Majid and implement them into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.